Let's do this!
A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over.
Here's a chance. That goal. Shot rebound. Scores.
Don't everybody get loose tonight. Throw a hand in the air. Feeling all right. You don't care if you stand because the music is tight. Let me hear you say yeah. We can do this right. Come on. Cook, cook, cook. Baby, come on. Cook, cook, cook. Baby, come on. Cook, cook, cook. Baby, come on.
Candle.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to Talkin' Sports on the Talkin' Audio Podcast Network. My name's Matt. Rob's over there.
Hey.
And in studio, as promised, Steve Warren. What's happening, man?
There's a whole lot happening. Lots happening, but we'll get into that. How are you guys?
Doing all right. So I think it was last summer you were in here, maybe July, August, something like that.
Yeah. It's great to be back. Love what you've done with the place. Well, you've done nothing with the place.
We've done literally nothing. Less than nothing.
Exactly the same.
Yeah. Well, I've got some artwork from my niece hanging up over here. We've really decorated the place, classes it up.
I could do better. Right? Now.
Well, see, I actually thought it was yours. I'm glad you've clarified that.
Oh, I can't keep up with that. So, this is NHL trade deadline day. And, man, it was an interesting one. I'm nervous with a couple of Sens fans here, with this being on the heels of quite a debacle in Leafland. I will take the jabs. Yes, exactly. I will take the jabs as we move along. But they didn't do much, so I don't think there'll be a lot to talk about there. We want to get into what the Senators did. I think we'll hold that for a little bit. But
I was disappointed they didn't go out and get Zamboni guy, just as Leaf kryptonite.
Yeah, well, and it's...
I think he's been locked up long-term in Carolina.
And I'm not sure why the Leafs would tamper with what is clearly a successful unit that they have there. No need No need to fix any of that.
It's going great.
That may be the highlight of the season right now.
For sure it is.
Fan.
For sure it
Holy
is.
Holy cow.
No, and we mentioned, you know, even on our last show that, you know, Jim Houston, they always do that. Welcome to fans who've been watching whatever. Welcome to Sens and Habs fans tuning in with raging erections. To watch this debacle
Wait,
in
Jim
Toronto.
Houston said that?
No.
No, that was Matt's own bubble.
Like, this is what's coming.
I wish Jim Houston would say stuff.
I know,
like that.
For sure. It'd make the broadcast
Massive
a whole.
he's sitting over here in the corner then, if that happens too, right? There's now four guys on that podcast.
Yeah, put away great save and start saying great erection.
Yes. Oof, man. Looking to Craig Simpson, I guess. I don't know how that broadcast booth works, right? But
which is one thing we didn't bring up, and you were obviously listening to the Ottawa broadcast on Saturday night.
Yep.
When Gary Galley, dropped the
whoa, fuck,
and then
did he spill hot coffee on himself?
I was saying this is exactly what I said. I said I think he may have spilled coffee in his lap. Or
I think he wore his mic pack to the bathroom, had a little zipper incident, trying to rush back in time.
Something about Mary. Do I go up? Do I go down with this? What is happening here?
That was amusing though. We didn't, poor Gary. One of the better color.
Well, it
guys
happened actually on TSN 1200. I don't want to speak out of turn.
Oh, really?
We've already talked about it on our podcast, so it's already out there.
Yeah, all right.
But it was one time. It was one of those Sens collapses in the playoffs.
Right.
The day after, Gary's on doing, I think, the midday show at that stage, and unfortunately, as he was trying to, you could say there was some venom there. There was some fire, but he was minding his P's and Q's, and then they got a commercial. He forgot his mic switch.
Yeah.
His mic was still live, and then he started talking about how he really felt. That effing guy, that effing guy, that effing guy.
All right.
Awesome.
Yeah. So Gary's got a potty mouth.
He's got a history.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us about what's been happening over on the Steve Warren Project, and I know you're starting up something new. Why don't you, before we get into things, why don't we tee that up a little bit?
Well, that's nice of you to give me a chance to plug that. Yeah, the Steve Warren Project is something I've been doing for the last 11 months. It's a daily deal. And it's been going great with Jim Jerome out in Edmonton, something convenient. It's amazing that you can do that now, that you can be in Ottawa.
That's awesome, yeah.
Yeah, and it sounds amazing. It sounds like we're in the same room, that we're in a decent studio. No, not really. We're just on good software that allows for it. And so that one's about sports and whatever, with a heavy Ottawa jag, given that both of us were on talk radio here in Ottawa for so long. So it's going well.
Great.
Good sponsorship, good support.
Perfect.
And so I'm starting up the Sens Nation podcast. Just kind of a chance to stretch my legs a little bit as some hardcore hockey talk again. So Greg Kennedy, who was also on TSN for a long time as a host of the Grassroots Minor Hockey Show. Mm-hmm. He's going to be my co-host. And, yeah, we're going to go hardcore on the Sens. And that one will be a weekly because I think probably six podcasts a week is enough.
Yes. So it's the Sens Nation podcast. And where can people find it? That's starting up this week, right?
Yeah. When does this one publish?
This will be tonight, Monday night.
There you go. So it'll be available Tuesday morning.
Right on.
So it's this week is the first one, and hopefully it all goes well, and bigger, better things ahead.
Okay.
And they can find that in all the normal podcasts.
Yeah, it's on Apple and Spotify, and it's already there now. Got the trailer up, and the show will be up by Tuesday morning, and SensNationPodcast.com is the website, and Sens Podcast is the Twitter account.
There you go.
Lots of hot takery, I'm almost positive.
Hot takery.
So we will make sure links to all that's posted at Tall Can Audio on Twitter and Instagram as well. So stick around there. It was an interesting day. Why don't we start with, because to me, in terms of Canadian teams, the team, and I'll leave it to you guys as to whether or not they were the most successful, the team that was the busiest was the Edmonton Oilers. They bring in Tyler Ennis from the Senators for a fifth-round pick. They also bring in Anthony...
Athanasiou?
Yeah, I got a fat tongue, right? It's hard. Athanasiou. It was hard to Google, even. I don't even know how we spell that. Yeah.
Athanasiou.
Right. So he comes in for 2 second-round picks, and I think Sam Gagner was also part of that deal going back to Detroit. They also made a second deal late last night that brought Mike Green in for a conditional pick and Kyle Brodziak. To me, I kind of like what they're doing out there. Everyone has said for a while they need fast, skilled wingers, and that's sort of what they did today, right, in terms of Athanasiou and Ennis. That's sort of where they went.
There was a one point where they were looking at – there was a lot of buzz about Mike Hoffman maybe.
Yes, I saw that as well.
Can you imagine a line of McDavid, Athanasiou, and – Mike Hoffman. That would be just bizarre. That would be one of the fastest lines we've ever seen.
It certainly would be. Because Athanasiou is the one guy they think that, you know, may be as fast as Connor. So we've been harping on that on this show for 2 years now, probably.
Well, he's also as big of a debacle in his own end as Connor McDavid, right? Like that line's going to have to be up and out. But in terms of keeping up, I think you may have found the only guy in the league who might be able to do it, right? But he wants to carry the puck in too, like Connor. You wonder if the law of diminishing returns, right? Is it? I like what Edmonton's done, but is that going to work, or do you maybe put Nuge back in the middle with these guys and move Draisaitl back up with Connor? Like, it does give them some options at least. They needed forward depth.
I like Tyler Ennis, having seen him closely here for most of the season. You know, as long as you're not relying on him to be a consistent top six guy, I think he's a great kind of role player.
Yeah.
I think he hustles. He's good on the forecheck and can chip in a little bit with points. Every once in a while, you go, wow, that was a great play. And oh my God, it was Tyler Ennis.
Yeah.
But for the price tag, for what they had to give up, which was nothing.
Right.
Why not? He's an upgrade.
Yeah.
I wonder about Ken Holland making the move from Detroit to Edmonton and then taking what was a questionable signing of Green and now bringing him with him.
Yep.
And then getting Athanasiou in his dash 45 that's coming with him. And you sort of go, oof.
That's rough.
I'm not sure. And I think what Ken did in the last bunch of years, you know, as that 25-year playoff streak sort of came to a slide, man, there was some warts on some of his moves. And I look at these two. I'm not sure I like it, but I'm also not sure I hate it,
right?
In terms of hot takery. This may be lukewarm takery.
Mediocre.
But I'll wait and see. I think Green, if they're looking for a little help on the power play, I think he's going to help there. Well, that's good.
And his numbers relative to being on one of the worst teams ever, his offensive numbers way down, which is what we all look for out of Mike Green. His defensive numbers, weirdly good for the bad team that he's been on, right? So I'm with you. I would be very nervous ever dealing with Steve Yzerman. But I think 2 seconds is a lot to pay for Athanasiou. But, you know, I kind of like that they're going for it too. Like that fan base in Edmonton has been through a lot. So, you know, maybe it's not that bad. I like you say, if they'd have managed to get Hoffman as well, I think maybe the natural spot to go here is what is Florida doing? They traded Trocheck to Carolina for Walmart and... Oh, who's the other guy now?
There's two or three guys. I can't.
Well, there was two prospects.
Four guys, yeah.
It was two prospects. It was Walmart, and there was, Eric Halla. Yeah. I like Trocheck. He struggled a little bit, but I like that Carolina has kind of gone for it there a bit, and I don't think they're really going to miss what they've given up. The prospects aren't much. It's kind of a weird two-for-one. There was reports today, Chris Johnston of Sportsnet said, that ownership has told Florida management, you need to shed $10 million before the start of next season.
Bobrovsky.
Well, after you just signed that deal, that's an interesting take. But I don't know what the Panthers are doing. Like, they're in this race in a big way. It looked to me, as much as anything, that they were selling.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it sounds like you've answered your own question there with the I had not heard that part of it. I'd not heard that part of it about shedding salary.
Right.
But who'd be surprised? Because the Panthers, really, since they arrived in Sunrise, they've been a team that really doesn't need to make any money, doesn't need to have any fans show up because it's part of this massive complex that's just like a merry-go-round in the food fair at a mall.
Right.
It's like just some perk. There's something else to do at the mall. So I don't really think there's any pressure to be successful there per se.
Right.
And so they're just looking at dollars and cents at this stage, and they want to save a couple of bucks. And I guess winning isn't necessarily the really ultimate end game for that. Certainly that trade doesn't indicate
right
it.
They're right
there. Trocheck's a nice player.
Yes, he is.
Like as with J.G. Pageot,
yeah.
You know, that's a guy that can be part of your Stanley Cup solution.
For sure. For sure.
I don't get it.
And Carolina's going for it a little bit. I worry, you know, as a Leaf guy, it kind of looked like Florida sold here, but do they, and now you're hearing that they may have to shed $10 million in salary. Does this become like Major League, right? Like where you have the evil owner, but the team all rallies around it, and you complete with Dale Talon, the big stand-up, they'll all tear a piece of clothing off them with each win as they go the rest of the way.
As long as they don't do that with Melnick here.
No,
I know.
No, for sure. It's interesting. I don't know why, like...
I think if they did it with Rick Dudley, that'd be a great look.
Yikes!
sorry.
Yeah. So, are they pulling up? Do you think the Panthers? Like, they're only 2 points back of a wildly inconsistent Leaf team.
Well, and if the Panthers could put anything together, the Leafs would be in the rearview mirror, right? And so it's super interesting. I think they're pulling up. I can't see how else you do that.
Right.
I'd agree. I can't look at a team and say that team looks better today after that trade.
Right.
They have a better chance of making the playoffs. They have a better chance of winning a Stanley Cup in the next couple of years.
Right.
I just don't feel that way when I look at that deal.
So,
anybody surprised? Sorry, do you have another?
No, go ahead.
Anybody surprised that you looked at Carolina bringing in Trocheck, bringing in Brady Shea from the Rangers,
Sammy Vatanen from the Devils?
Okay, Sammy Vatanen from the Devils, but they didn't go out and they didn't address any goaltending needs.
Yeah, well, they've clearly shown in the last week they don't need one. we'll just do it with whoever's standing around.
If you can continue to hope that Toronto or somebody is not going to put more than seven shots on them in a period.
Whatever's going to happen, we're going to roll into Winnipeg and hire their fucking popcorn guy for the night. I don't know what's going
to
happen.
Well, the great thing for Rod Brindamore, he's got an opportunity to say, remember that night in Toronto on a Saturday night where we knew that if they got a shot on goal, they're probably going to score? And the way you guys played defense and rallied around that guy?
Yeah.
There's your template, you know. Do that, fellas. You get into the playoffs. That's how you get the guys to play, because that was one of the best defensive performances I've ever seen. I know there's lots of jokes about the goalie and all that, but that defensive performance was unreal. The Leafs didn't get a sniff.
Nope.
Yeah,
it's true.
Well, and the Leafs also helped him up by continuing to try to make it into the middle, and Carolina just saying, I don't think so.
Yeah. So also Brett Pesce goes down on Saturday. Dougie Hamilton was already out. That's clearly part of what's happened here, right? Vatanen and Shea are not Dougie Hamilton, but you're just trying to kind of fill some time, right, until maybe those guys get back. I really like with Trocheck and whatever. Maybe they're not as worried about Mrazek, right? Maybe that's not as long-term. I haven't heard what either injury might be in terms of Mrazek or Reimer, how long they might be out. But, you know, if you bring in a Like they called up both their AHL goalies. I think it's Anton Forsberg that will be the next guy up. They must not be expecting that these are long-term.
And Sammy Vatanen is more than just a placeholder too, right? He's, to me, he's a player.
Yeah, no, he's for sure. And he's unrestricted. So he's not going to, part of making Brady Shea work was actually Carolina going into LTIR, right? I don't think that was ever going to be the plan, but that's how they got that done. To me, they might be, it's them or Edmonton in terms of winners of the day. I thought they had a really nice, you know, trade deadline to
Are you completely discounting Pittsburgh?
As a Leaf guy, I'm not that excited about Marlowe. But they did bring in Zucker a couple of weeks ago or a week and a half ago, whatever it's been. Sheary comes back and Evan Rodriguez. Yeah. For Dominic Cahoon, that'll work nice for Buffalo, I guess. Pittsburgh to me was already a pretty good team. I'm not that excited about what they did in comparison to Carolina and Edmonton.
Well, certainly. I mean, it's you look at what Carolina is, and again, I go back to that game Saturday night and looking at the way they played. Mm-hmm. You don't need stellar goaltending if you get that level of defense going on right now. But I'm not smitten with either of their goalies.
No, that was never going to be a strength.
Yeah, they've gotten this far by just playing elite team defense, and they've obviously bolstered things. They got to get healthy now. You want everybody pulling on the rope come playoff time. But, we're in a league now where it's a just-get-in thing, which is why, getting back to Florida, I was surprised that they kind of cut bait a little bit on that deal, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at Bobrovsky last year and the struggles he had, right, Tortorella sending him home, telling him, you know what, maybe you just don't come, and how hot he got at the end of the season, really helping Columbus push right into the playoffs. I think he finished with 5 shutouts in the last 6 weeks.
Yeah,
that's a guy who now hasn't shown it,
but could get hot
this
at any
year.
Moment.
That could get hot right at any moment. When you have elite goaltending like that, it is surprising. But I don't know what else to take from that message today.
Yeah, it looked like a bit of a sell off, and honestly, as a Leaf fan, that scares me a little.
Are the Leafs going to make it?
Who knows? They sit in third. I said
Buffalo
on the show.
Buffalo still fancies itself a contender, apparently, obviously, based
Wayne
on what they
Simmons,
did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went out and they got Wayne Simmons, and they bring in Dominic Cahoon. And I think there was another move that I forget now. But, they clearly aren't. They've obviously looked ahead and looked at the Panthers and looked at the Leafs and went, we can catch that.
Yeah.
They're 6 points back. And I don't know that they're crazy to think that. Like, that's a lot of ground you would think most years to make up. It doesn't look like either Toronto or Florida wants it, so why would you throw in the towel? As for the Leafs, we can spend a second here, but they didn't do much. I said on the show that we did last night, Steve, I'm sure you were listening.
Absolutely.
Obviously, yeah, that I wouldn't do much, right? This group hasn't shown anything in terms of spending any more future assets, right, in terms of giving them boost, trying to give anything more. No, this isn't a group that you bet on. But I'm also not selling while I'm holding a playoff spot. Like, Leaf fans are, why wouldn't you trade Tyson Berry's under? Well, because now your right side is Justin Hall and maybe Cody Ceci's back healthy.
Wow.
Yeah, like, you can't get rid of that guy. So I didn't really blame the Leafs for standing pat, but I wouldn't have spent more assets on this team, right? They just haven't earned that, if you want to call it that. So if I'm Buffalo, I look at Florida and I look at Toronto and go, I can probably catch that. Like, I'm not going to spend the bank, but I can make that happen. Don't you think?
Yeah.
That's clearly what they've decided.
I wonder what their psyche might be. I like the way they responded. I don't like giving compliments out to the Leafs, as you know. But I do like the way they responded from the pummeling against Pittsburgh by pummeling Pittsburgh.
Yes.
However, that was a unique embarrassment on Saturday night.
Yes.
I wonder how they'll respond. I'm keen to see these next couple of games to see where they're at
right
now.
Hard to respond to Tampa, right?
So. Yeah. That's not exactly a team you can go out and light up.
Yeah.
But, I'd be keen to see if there's any effect there. But it's a flawed team. I mean, even the scores you've got.
I keep hearing that.
I know.
Right on this show, he continues to hear that.
I mean, you obviously have some unbelievable skill guys, but mm-hmm. the game's not a skills competition. The game, these guys are going to go out and blow your mind sometimes with their offense, but the game is won and lost in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And if you're not a somewhat robust player, you're going to be lost. You're going to fade. That's probably why Mike Babcock has given Austin Matthews the kind of minutes he is to conclude the playoffs last year. This is the flaw in these kinds of players. They're going to dazzle you.
That's the
one, Saturday night in November, but come playoff time, I just do not like the makeup of that team.
Steve, you know what you're totally overlooking? You're totally overlooking all those crease goals William Nylander's been scoring.
Right. A crammer. Cram right. that thing in.
We can get bogged down here, we can move along.
A shot here that's a...
Why don't we talk about the Senators? Because I thought they did some interesting business. I thought what they got for DeMelo was a little light. And maybe what they got for Ennis was a little light. I was blown away by what they got for Pageau. Now, you'd see that he turns around and like a lot of guys who get traded out of Ottawa, sign a long-term deal 30 seconds later. I did not see that kind of haul coming for Pageau. What kind of deadline has it been for the Senators for you guys?
Well, I think the Pageau deal is great, but I also think it's great for the Islanders as well. I know everybody's blown away by the bounty they got for sure, but I think Lou Lamoriello has won a few cups, right? He's won three Stanley Cups. And I think he understands the value of a guy like J.G. Pageau, where I think a lot of the general hockey public does not. They say, well, it's a quintessential third-line center. He's thinking more Stanley Cup formula. And a guy like that is worth his weight in gold come playoff time. Because as we all know, goal prevention is worth as much as a goal scored. And J.G. Pageau helps in that area a lot. He's an elite defensive center, and he's solid offensively. He's not great,
right,
but he's solid offensively. And what did Lou Lamoriello have in New Jersey?
Bobby Holik.
Well, no, I wasn't going to say him. No, I was going to say a guy that I think plays the game a lot like J.G. Pageau, and that's John Madden.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that name.
I do.
Sure.
He won three Stanley Cups.
Please, let's see. Me and my blue fandom. Do I remember John Madden?
Yes,
I think I do.
There you go. So he was a guy that he put up Pageau-like numbers. He was an elite defensive center. He won a Selke, I think, and was in the mix for a bunch. And they leaned on him heavily, like 19 minutes a game. Why would they do that? Like, he's a third-line center as far as his offensive stats, which we all go gaga over all the time. But yet Lou Lamoriello relied on that guy, leaned on him. They won three Stanley Cups together. And I think he sees a little of John Madden in J.G. Pageau.
Yeah. Rob, what did you think?
Yeah, I look at it, and it's really divisive in this town, right? The trading of Pageau. But it's complex. It's not just a guy in, guy out. It's when you look at the money he signed for with the Islanders, 6 years at $5 million per, that was never going to happen here. And I don't know about you, but I'm not paying him that to stay here.
I don't think that would have been a good move for the set.
Not for this team.
No.
The Islanders, I think it could work out because they're that much closer to winning a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I don't blame... to me, it's a win. It's a win. We get the first and the second back. We can dismiss the third, right? If the condition on that is that they win a cup.
Well, that's all I have to
that's
do.
Not that's happening.
Yeah. So let's dismiss that. I'm loving the first and second. We will miss Pageau. To me, he is what has become the quintessential Senator, right? He's a guy who you could use to teach young guys to play the right way, be on the right side of the puck all the time.
Yeah.
Talking about playoff clutch, right? It's a guy with a hat trick in one series. It's a guy with a 4-goal game in another one. That's a guy who elevates in the playoffs. So great for the Islanders. But to me, you can't have a guy who, when we get good, will be your third line center and making $5 million a year.
Like, that was the weird thing for me in terms of how quickly the Islanders did this. I don't know if you guys think they must have been talking before the trade was made.
Lou doesn't give up that first if he doesn't feel like...
I think that's right. But if I'm Lou, I'm concerned about what does that look like, right? Like, this guy hit a career-high shooting percentage. He's getting later into his career, and you haven't seen him play with your group yet, and you locked him up to 6 years that quick.
He's 27.
You understand, but 6 years.
Yep, 6 years is long.
Yeah. But it's also not backbreaking money. I do get it. I think it probably fits better on the island than it does here, but I was still surprised. You didn't even give it a couple of games to see if it was going to work, right? Well, he's not Mark Stone.
Right, but you are looking
who
at...
Who also signed pretty quick.
Well, it signed for 9.5, right? So this is a significant difference in money. But you look what the Islanders did with the addition of Pajot, who is a great piece, who will slot right in. I question him in behind Brock Nelson, right? Which seems to be where they're looking at putting him. But bringing in Andy Green as well, which is another sort
going
of
back to the guys you know, similar yeah, to Ken Holland,
Lamoriello, and so. But again, that is a guy who underrated and doesn't have a lot of the sizzle and sex appeal that some of the other picks do. Yeah, but
they didn't give him 6 years.
No, I know, but he is certainly going to solidify that back end in this playoff push, because I think they're in ninth in the East.
Well,
right
they've
now.
Had some injuries as well.
And Barry Trotz is going to love Pajot. So to me, I get it. But at this point, this is a team that's not going to win the Cup. They're going to finish. That's a pick that's going to be somewhere between 18 and 22, right? You end up Ottawa having a top five pick, maybe a top eight pick, and a top 20 pick.
Well, so what are the Sens at? 14 picks now?
Well, it's three firsts, four seconds. That's really
I'm
what
pretty
you...
sure I saw 14 picks in this year's draft.
Crazy.
Which is
the big two, though, the first round, three picks, four in the second. That's where you make
absolutely.
Your money. And that's crazy. To have seven in the first two rounds, that's nuts.
No, I agree with that. And Rob, you referenced Vegas here. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't touch on what they have done. They, a week or so ago, went out and got Alec Martinez, which I think is a nice fit for them, but at the deadline, the very last second, they go out and get Robin Lehner. We've talked on here before about the struggles that Fleury has had this year. Subban is not the guy that is going to pick up and help you run the ball if you need to. Who knows what Fleury might have left in the tank. They gave up, I think, a second plus Malcolm Subban and a prospect to Chicago. I love that deal for Vegas to bring in Robin Lehner. I know a lot of people are saying to back up Fleury. I'm not sure by the end of the season that's what that looks like.
Hard to say. We've given up on Marc-Andre Fleury before, right?
Yeah, no, that's
true. I like Robin Lehner a lot.
Yeah.
And we've given up on him too. And they've both rallied in different ways, obviously. But, I mean, how can you not like Robin Lehner? I still would keep it on the table that Marc-Andre Fleury can still kind of rally and become the goalie that we've seen in the past.
Yep.
That's why Vegas has him. I mean, they got him in the expansion draft because of the emergence of Murray and because Fleury had faded a little bit. But obviously, he still had a ton left in the tank, so we'll see what he has. But I think they're in good shape and goal, obviously, with those two.
Well, The Athletic reported just after the deadline that Lehner had told Chicago for like a 3 or 4 year deal, he would take less than market value. He was happy there and he wanted to stay there. And I wonder, after what's happened in Buffalo, what happened on the island, if either of you guys would like to hashtag Bell Let's Talk about why no one is willing to commit to this guy. Is that a factor? Are there people that wonder about how vocal he's been about some of his own struggles, or is this just the business?
I would certainly hope not, right? And it looked like he had a supportive environment with Lou and Barry Trotz on the island.
Yep.
And so I think we all scratched our heads that they brought in Varlamov instead of him and gave him more money, I think, than what Robin would have signed for there. It's a tricky situation in Chicago in the fact that you have an incumbent, sort of incumbent, in Crawford, who's won a couple of cups. Who I think Robin has outplayed in parts of this season, but not maybe enough to sort of say, all right.
Because Crawford has been better lately. Probably he's going to come in at less money, you know.
But see, so that to me is we're going to stick with the devil we know. And so I don't know. I don't know if I was.
No, neither of us know.
No, for sure. Yeah. But I would hope. I would certainly hope. I'd be very disappointed if that was the case.
Any thoughts on that? Or
well, I think if Lehner is, if he's continues to muddle along with these 1 year contracts, that would certainly indicate a nervousness about the things you talked about, and that there might be whispers out there that there are issues. But it certainly seems, based on general performance, because some of the things he talked about whether it was the bipolar stuff, whether it was the battles with substance abuse. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't thrive in the greatest hockey league in the world as a goaltender if you're still dealing That's with right. that stuff. Yeah. So I got to think it's behind him, but who knows for sure.
Right. So, you know, we should get ready to kind of wind this one down. But before we do, anything else, anyone else that surprised you guys that did go, that didn't go, winners, losers, somebody you thought might do more? Steve, why don't you go first?
I guess I thought maybe Craig Anderson might find a new home somewhere. Yeah. You know, Carolina's issues, for example.
Yeah.
I guess if I were the Ottawa Senators, I basically say to Craig Anderson, what do you want to do?
Right.
Do you want to go for a chance to win somewhere? We'll try and make something happen. Or if you want to stay, we'll absolutely keep you too and take it to the finish line this year. And you know, maybe you retire as a Senator. I don't know what you do. Mm-hmm. But I did think that Craig Anderson has always struck me as the kind of guy that might be kind of interested in greener pastures
sure.
if given the opportunity. So I kind of thought that maybe there might be a new NHL home for him.
Well, before the Campbell thing happened in Toronto, that was the guy I – cap wise it was never going to work, but as a Leaf guy, I was like, go get that guy, go get Craig Anderson, right? Like, just stable, right? Just
yeah,
he's still capable of just giving you what you need in that spot. Rob, anybody? See,
yeah, well, first of all, just to touch on what yeah. Steve has said there, if they were going to get a sixth round pick for Craig, it's not worth it. Leave him here, let him finish the season and go at it from there. I don't think you flip him for something that late,
right?
You let him walk at the end of the year. I think he deserves that. So to me, the return was never going to be enough to ship him. So
I'm only saying, again, if it had his stamp of
yeah. approval. Oh, no.
I'm not saying do a fifth because I want a fifth.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm simply saying, yeah, that if that's the market rate, then yeah, I think you let a guy who is now the all-time wins leader and all that stuff and the legacy guy. Just in terms of scraping up the rest, I would look at Washington, right? They did some good things.
Yeah.
They did some curious things, right? Well, I like the Brendan Dillon addition.
I did too. And he,
for that roster.
And he endeared himself pretty quick on the weekend against Pittsburgh, eh? Like, he's trying to get at Malkin. He doesn't care about Malkin, but he knows his teammates hate Malkin, right? So you're kind of showing a little something there.
And so the flip side is the curious addition of Kovalchuk, which I think is going to turn out to likely be a bust there.
That's $70,000.
No.
So he's on four different teams' salary cap right now.
That's crazy.
Anybody got a? Who are the four?
New Jersey.
New Jersey is the one.
And L.A.
Yeah.
And Montreal.
Yeah. And now hanging out.
Still on New Jersey's cap.
Thank you very much. and the flip side of that is, and as low.
I like that deal for them.
As low.
I think that's a low risk, right? Because LA held on to, or
what
Montreal
was the pick,
held,
what was the pick they had to give up for that? A second or a third?
I think it was a third, if I remember correctly.
I want to say it's a second. Maybe Steve can break the straw.
I'm pretty sure it's a third.
I'd just be guessing at this point.
Sure. Okay, anyways, you look at what Mark Bergevin's done, yeah. and as loath as Steve is to tip the cap at the Leafs, I feel the same way with the Habs. When you look at Mark Bergevin, who gets Kovalchuk for nothing, flips him for a second
third
or a third.
Slash second, yeah.
Yeah, and you look at Marco Scandella,
yeah.
right? And you sort of go, okay, he brought him in for a fourth and flipped him out for a second and a fourth,
yeah.
right?
Pretty good.
And you go, well, that seems to be fairly decent asset management, right?
Yep.
So in terms of the leftovers who we haven't really looked at and maybe aren't of great consequence, I think Brendan Dillon and the addition and what he brings to an already rugged Capitals lineup.
Yeah.
Pretty nice.
I like the Kovalchuk thing as well. I think one other angle I would add to the mix is don't discount what playing around Russian superstars
mm-hmm.
will be like. Like Kovalchuk,
Kuzi.
Ovechkin, Kuzi.
Orlov.
Kuzi. You made me say Kuzi. I'm not happy about that. But I think
Orlov, Samsonov.
Yeah, I mean, just that heavy Russian component of stars that Washington already has, I think that might elevate his game further.
I think so too.
And I liked him in Montreal. I thought he added.
He cooled
like,
a little, but
yeah, sure. But he had way more than I ever thought he would have had based on
that.
What I saw in
yeah.
LA.
Well, and the problem there is Montreal is so fast, small, fast, whatever the deal is. They are quick,
yeah.
right? And he is not.
No, not at this point.
And I think
career,
I yeah. think as the pace slips down a bit, that may be the upside for Washington, right? Because he still can shoot it.
Well, I'm worried is that Bergevin went to him and said, we got deals with Boston and Washington. Where do you want to go? He chose Washington. You look, I can't think of one Russian on Boston. So maybe that was the deciding factor, right? Like, was just what Steve's saying there in terms of this little sense of community. We've seen over the years other Russians. Sergei Fedorov, way back when they were first trying to get things fired up there in Washington, was supposed to go in and train Ovi. That, I don't know how well that panned out, but I like that.
I think there'd be a friendly rivalry there. I think there's a, you know, anything you can do, I can do better thing. I think in that level of, they have friendships, there's a compete level, and I think that they'll really thrive. I think Kovalchuk can really thrive in Washington.
I agree with that completely. Why don't you hit us once more before we get out of here with where we can find the Steve Warren Project, the Sens Nation podcast, whatever Steve Warren's got going on in his world right now.
So much plugging to do. SteveWProject.com is one-stop shopping for that podcast, sports and whatever, and the other one exclusively about the Ottawa Senators, which launches this week, is the SensNationPodcast.com.
We will get all of that posted at TallCanAudio.com as well as at TallCanAudio on Twitter and Instagram. We're at Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. It's been an interesting trade deadline day. I don't know that we saw any of the huge, you know, grand slam type of deals that maybe we used to way back before the cap. But I think we did get more than I was probably expecting today, to be honest with you. I expected this one to be really slow, and we saw some names move, so not too bad. Steve, as always, we appreciate you coming in and giving us a little bit of your time.
Thank you, boys.
And,
it was fun.
We'll get out of here on that. That's Talk and Sports for another NHL trade deadline, and we'll see you all later.
See ya.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCanAudio on your favorite podcast app.